Somebody tweeted today that there was some tweet from some radio station somewhere I saw. Somebody retweeted it. It was like, should Alabama still get to the college football playoff if they lose? Of course they shouldn't. Pete Fewtz at College Football News with us. Pete, are they going to find a way to screw Cincinnati here? I know you hate the non-Power 5 schools. You'd probably be on board with screwing Cincinnati. What do you think?
Loaded question much? So, like, screw Cincinnati? Like, is it – look, first of all, to your question, your first part about that with the Alabama thing and the two losses, I don't think they deserve to get in. If they lose on a walk-off field goal, though, in a four-best-team sort of way, is that one of the four best teams in college football? Again, I don't think they should get in, but I've seen the committee make decisions on weirder things before. So I'm not 100% sold on that. Cincinnati needs to win relatively impressively. I don't think if they do it like they did last year and get a walk-off field goal against Tulsa like they did, they do that against Houston, that's a problem. I don't think they
can. Well, not if Alabama – if Alabama loses, they're in either way. If Alabama or Oklahoma State loses, they're in either way as long as they win, right? You're saying if
– there's a bunch of – so, yes, first of all, I do think Cincinnati's getting in. So the weirdest overall – there's a bunch of overall weird scenarios here. Let's assume Alabama loses. Then Georgia definitely. Michigan, assume Michigan wins. And let's say Oklahoma State wins. I think Oklahoma State's in at the three. What hasn't been kind of thought about in this whole process is Oklahoma State just beat the, at the time, number 10 team in the country. Mm-hmm. If they win this week, they beat the, I believe Baylor's what, seven? I could get that wrong. But
something like that.
They'll have two top 10 wins to close out the regular season. That's technically the best two-game stretch by anybody to close out the year. So those aren't factored in. So I think Oklahoma State, if it wins, I think it's a mortal lock, even over Cincinnati. Now, I could be wrong, but if Alabama beats Georgia and Oklahoma State wins and Michigan wins, I think Cincinnati's out.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
Pete, what do you make of these coaching changes? We can start with Lincoln Riley going to Southern Cal and then get to the Brian Kelly stuff. But what was your first reaction to Lincoln Riley leaving Norman?
Yay. Let's see what the Pac-12 is now a thing. All of a sudden, USC is a big deal. Because now they're going to start. You can see it right away. The recruiting changed. A bunch of guys slipped. Is Caleb Williams going to follow Lincoln Riley there? All of a sudden, USC becomes a thing again. The Pac-12 becomes a thing again. The pressure is on to be great right away. It's a good thing for college football when the Pac-12, you have all sides of the country are involved and into it. We have another year with no Pac-12 team in the college football playoff. No team, Oregon wasn't really that close considering it got whacked by Utah. So good, now we get to see the Pac-12 kind of rise up a little bit. So that's a good thing. The Brian Kelly stuff, God help him if Notre Dame is actually still in this. I mean, he couldn't wait a week. Look, there is a scenario here. If Georgia beats Alabama, if Michigan loses, then all of a sudden all bets are off. And, there is an argument to be made that, if Notre Dame could slide on in or at least be considered to the top four. It's not that crazy a scenario for that to happen. And the committee chair, Gary Barta, basically just said, look, it's our job to look at the four best teams. And if you lost your starting quarterback, which was a factor, if you remember in 2014 with Ohio State, they at least brought it up, got Ohio State in there anyway. Or if you lose your head coach, kind of a big deal. So they decide, look, we got to compare two teams, which one gets in, and they don't choose Notre Dame because they don't have Brian Kelly. That's an all-timer. That's just bad form all the way around. Good luck at LSU. Can't go 10-2 ever. I don't love the hire, and I definitely don't love the timing.
Pete, let's go back to last week. How surprised were you that Michigan beat Ohio State?
Surprising, yes, because it actually happened. But the way it happened, not really, because I think we talked about this last week. Michigan had the type of team that could at least pound on Ohio State, and Ohio State hadn't played – a team other than Michigan State that could actually run the ball since, you know, the Oregon and Minnesota games. And Michigan State was whacked getting off the bus, so they didn't even have a chance to get Kenneth Walker going. And look, that was just a physical game by both lines. You know, the offense for Ohio State played all right. You know, the defense was okay. It just happened to be that day that the Michigan line showed up. Now, let's see if Michigan can have nice things, because if that was great, but if you lose to Iowa, the Ohio State win, while it means something, all of a sudden kind of loses its luster just a wee bit. So let's see what it does this weekend. Those Lions have to get it done again, because Iowa's Lions just really aren't that great.
Michigan is the biggest favorite of all the teams playing this weekend. You think there's... I mean,
what are they, 10-point favorites, Adam?
11.
I hear 11.
11,
now,
okay.
Yeah.
I mean, is that, that'd be a pretty big... I mean, not that 11's impossible. We've seen some big upsets this year, but it seems unlikely that Iowa would win, though.
Yeah, maybe, but if Iowa forces turnovers, they're doing that again. Like, they took the ball over a ton to start the season, then they didn't take the ball away at all against Wisconsin and Purdue and lost. Didn't take the ball away against Minnesota, had a fight, and then over the last few weeks, started getting the takeaways going again. That's got to be it. The only problem with that is Michigan doesn't turn the ball over. But if the pressure's on, it's all on Michigan now. You know, Iowa's kind of playing with house money here. If Michigan presses and starts turning the ball over, okay, Iowa has a shot in this thing. They're a pretty good team. They have yet to allow more. I think it's like 27 points is the most anybody scored on them this year. That defense is good enough. The problem's going to be the offensive line. I know Tyler Linderbaum's going to be an NFL All-Pro for several years to come, but I just don't see that offensive line holding up against the Michigan defensive front.
Let's go to the Bama-Georgia game. We talked about that briefly for a minute. How do you see this one playing out?
I would be shocked if Alabama doesn't show up large in this. Look, you know, Georgia's really good. Stetson Bennett's still their quarterback. That's the fear, is that you've got all these Heisman-caliber guys around, and Stetson Bennett's pretty good, but JT Daniels is on the bench. He's going to be an NFL starter someday. And Ben's been good, been efficient, but he's also had 10 days to throw. He's not going to get that. Alabama, I believe, leads the nation in sacks, or at least they're very close to it. That pass rush for Bama is going to show up. Now, can the Alabama offensive line hold up and keep Bryce Young from getting killed? That's going to be the big concern. We talked way early in the season, when we talked about Oregon and Ohio State, why does Oregon have a chance? Well, Oregon's got the guys. Oregon had the talent. Now, Oregon could run with Ohio State. There are very few teams in America that could have the athletes that could run with the Buckeyes. And obviously, Oregon was able to do it. Well, there are very few teams that have the athleticism, the NFL guys, and the talent to be able to run and hang out with Georgia. And Alabama's definitely won. So I think Georgia wins. I don't think it's going to be a blowout in any way.
Pete, Heisman Trophy, wide open. Who do you like?
It's going to be interesting. Well, it's over if Bryce Young goes off and Alabama wins. Then it's an all-time landslide because there's just no other option for number one. If Alabama wins and he is very good, over. But if he's not great, and if Alabama loses, then you're going to have a bunch of guys getting the number one spot, which makes it interesting for C.J. Stroud, because C.J. Stroud probably gets everyone's number two. You know, because part of the problem with this is, you know, who's going to watch the ACC championship? Kenny Pickett's going to put on a show against Wake Forest, but everyone's going to be watching the Big Ten championship. No one's going to watch Desmond Ridder, you know, do anything against Houston, because everyone's going to be watching the SEC championship, or the Big 12 championship, I'm sorry, it's earlier. So who else you got? I mean, I don't think Aiden Hutchinson's winning the Heisman. I don't think Jordan Davis is winning the Heisman. So it's really going to come down to, again, going to come down to whether or not Bryce Young can play well against the Georgia D, and just how many first-place votes does C.J. Stroud get. His problem is obviously he doesn't get a shot to play this weekend and show what he can do, but I definitely think he gets everyone's number two or three votes.
Doesn't that say something bad about the way the voting goes, that it's –
Don't even start. Oh,
I mean, what a joke!
Got killed last year. It has been my rant that we should be voting on this thing after the bowls, the biggest games of the year, the ones that matter. Who is the MVP? Who's the most outstanding player? We don't know this until after the biggest games of the year. And while it sounds insane now, at the time, when I voted for Kyle Trask, he had better numbers than Joe Burrow did during his 2019 season. He almost single-handedly got Florida past Alabama. And then the Alabama guys, you know, Najee Harris, Dante Smith, Mac Jones, you kind of basically just, you know, split up the vote between those three. And so at the time, it seemed all right. But obviously, I vote for Devontae if that's done after the bowl game.
Right.
So
yeah, but not just that, Pete. It's just like the way you were saying it, it's like, well, they're not going to vote for this guy because you're not going to watch him play. Like, so because we don't watch a guy play, people are not going to vote for the guy. I mean, that means people are not doing their homework enough.
Ooh, well, look at Trevor Lawrence was second last year. That's why not doing the homework. Obviously he's a great player, number one pick in the draft, but was he the Heisman worthy? No. You know, not last season he wasn't. You know, to me, it's who is the signature guy of the season. Since we vote on this thing Saturday night or so, who is the guy who best represents everything about the 2021 regular season? And we don't have that guy, really. I mean, again, C.J. Stroud was good. Is he the best player on Ohio State? I mean, he was awesome. I think Shaw is the three wide receivers are right up there, and certainly Travion Henderson's right there. But, you know, it's not a bad call, but did he take over the season? Did Ohio State beat Oregon? Did they beat Michigan? No. You know, not his fault. He was great in those games. But still, is that the guy, the signature star of the season? Well, it might turn out to be if Bryce Young ends up having a hard day against Georgia.
All right, everybody, check out Pete's work at collegefootballnews.com. Pete, we appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you again.
You have a good one.
Thanks, Pete.
Thanks.